All right, welcome everybody. I'm going to do another 30 plus minutes here. My show should be over about now, but I decided to bring another guest on. We're going to talk about a few things, and we do need, I did mention at the end of the last guest here that we are listener supported, so if you do like what we're doing, please hit that donate button. I should go do Facebook Live too, but I don't think Facebook's going to pick you up on Skype, so I won't even do that. Anyways, I want to introduce, I guess she considers herself a researcher and a, among other things. I'm going to find out more about her once I ask her about her background and what she does and what she has done, but I want to introduce Noelle Fay to the show.
Howdy.
Welcome.
It's good to be here. Thanks.
Well, you're very welcome. I appreciate you coming on. I catch a lot of your YouTube videos. First of all, let's tell me about your YouTube channel, what it's called, and how people can find your material.
Well, the channel's under my name, so it's Noelle Fay, and that's N-O-E-L-L-E, and then Fay is F-A-E. My series is called Forbidden Fruit, and obviously it's, you know, things like conspiracies and things that most people don't even want to think about, let alone talk about.
Well, that's what my last guest, that's what he and I talked about a little bit there, but yeah, we can go into more.
Mm-hmm. And it's heavily censored. The censorship on YouTube is unbelievable.
It is. It is. You know, if you're putting up little cat and dog videos, you get 500,000 to a million subscribers and millions of views. But, you know, people really don't want to hear the truth or alternate ideas.
No, they want bread and circuses.
That's why Jerry Springer is so popular. So is Judge Judy and some of them other circus shows.
Well, when you concentrate on things like this for a long time, it can get you down. So, you know, there's quite a few times where I go and look at the animal videos and things like that just to have a laugh and just to get away from all the, you know, all the negativity for a little while.
Yes.
So it can help when you need morale and when you need a break from that.
Yes.
But with my videos, basically, all my life, you know, when you're a child, you go through this phase of asking why. And most kids grow out of that phase. You know, they're either given an illogical reason or, you know, just told to shut up or whatever, and they get out of that phase. I never did. And when I would ask people why this, why that, and I'd always get answers that didn't make any sense or just were idiotic or completely illogical.
Uh-huh.
So I learned really quick that people in general have no clue. So when I had a question, I researched it myself instead of believing anybody else. And so I'd go from one topic to another, just, okay, that's how that works. Moving on. And that's pretty much been my life. And I started that at around the age of 7. And I'm 47 now.
So you had to go to the library.
Yes. Yes, that I did. But then my home has a lot of, you know, I was raised in a home that had a lot of books in it. And yeah, library. And then, you know, when I was in my 20s, the internet was finally starting to get to where you could access information there. And that was back before it was all censored.
Right.
So we're talking like the days of Windows 3.1.1 and AOL and stuff like that is when I started out.
Uh-huh. I've got a funny story about that. I graduated probably, I don't know, four years or so, maybe even not much more than that, but before the first computers, the first personal computers or the first, before they started making them available to the public, about
right.
4 years. When they did, it was right around the time I think my brother graduated. In 86, 4 years after me. And I think he said his last year in high school, they started bringing computers in. He started to get into it and all that kind of stuff too, but I never did. I started hearing the stories about computers were going to do nothing but spy on us, steal our data, be intrusive, and all of these horror stories. I never got my first computer until Christmas 2008. And, well, after all these years, it turns out to be true.
Oh, yes.
All those stories.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And, well, basically, I've been living as if I was under surveillance for about 20 years now. I had a lot of very strange things happen right after I met a 33-degree Mason in the smoking area at Enron. So, and I worked in technology for almost 20 years for big major oil and gas companies like British Petroleum and Shell and Texaco. And, you know, when you have weird things like that happen to you, people accuse you of being paranoid, but you have to think about it logically. If I worked in, you know, if I was a Freemason or one of these, you know, high up elite hoity-toits, and there was a girl who liked to research, who seemed interested in that stuff, and had admin rights on a Fortune 500 oil and gas company network, would it be shocking that they investigated me? Hell no.
Not
it
at all.
It makes a lot of sense. But that went on for a year or two. And then I think my hunch is they figured out I'm not a threat, you know, and they probably still have an eye on me and a file on me, but I'm not worried about it anymore. You know, if they were going to do something, they would have done it by now.
Yeah, yeah.
So pretty much we have no secrets, though. The one thing I learned from almost 20 years in technology is that there is no such thing as IT security.
Right.
There's, if you want something to stay secure, keep it on a piece of paper.
Or keep it in your head, yes. Keep it to yourself.
Right.
Keep it to yourself.
Right. Well, so, yeah, I just basically started researching when I started asking questions about why the world is the way it is. And I'm still going, but I'll go to one topic until I figure it out, and then I'll move on.
Uh-huh. What are your thoughts? Go ahead.
And my videos basically are the accumulation of 40 years of research.
Okay, okay. I know you've been getting a lot lately into this QAnon stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You want to explain a little bit about that?
Well, I found out about QAnon actually from a YouTube video that was showing the Christmas elevator in Trump Tower. And how they had the stocking in that elevator that you could see, obviously they had changed the O on the stocking to a Q. And they were showing the symbolism in this elevator. I'm like, what is this? So I started looking into it. And it's fascinated me since then. And I'm still, you know, I've done a couple videos on it. I keep an eye on QMap.pub. I've yeah, been following it for over a year now.
I mean, what are your thoughts on it though? What do you think? Is it just one man, one woman, a group of people?
No. And actually, for your listeners, if you guys go to my, my videos and look at my What's Up with Trump video, it pretty much gets into it, but basically QAnon is a group of military intelligence. It is a group of people. And even if you look at just Trump's tweets alone, the man is very, very busy. There is no way he could be doing all those tweets.
Uh-huh.
He'd have to be sitting in front of his phone 24/7. We know he doesn't.
I like the little bird in the background there.
Yeah, sorry. I live out in the woods. I live off grid.
Don't worry about it.
And you'll hear them. I can close the door.
No, but, you're fine. You're fine. I want to go even further than that, Noel. Well, I believe for a long, long time, there are factions within everything. The government, secretive services, FBI, CIA, the UN, and NGOs. You know what an NGO is, correct?
Yes, non-governmental.
Okay. Non-governmental organizations, yes. Mm-hmm. I believe that there are factions in every single country that, well, I call them the cabal. Cabal of Criminals.
Right.
That's my show, Cancel the Cabal.
Yep.
there are factions deep within everything that run the entire world. This is what I believe.
I do too.
The militaries, all the militaries and all the military intelligences.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. There's been stories. Like a two-star general marches into an office and it's about some sort of a secretive program. You know, he walks in with all his pins and badges and flashy things off of his nice shiny suit, and he demands to speak to the company officer and about this particular program. And a lowly little sergeant tells him, "I'm sorry, sir, you're not going to talk to anybody because you're not in the chain of knowledge. You're not in the group, sir." Mm-hmm. Two-star general. You're not in this group, sir. You're not going to get that kind of information. That works at every single level.
Well, I believe that the clowns in America, basically under the guise of classified programs,
clowns
have been running all of this.
You mean government?
Governments.
Well, yeah, it's been called the last 3 years, it's been called the deep state.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But here's the thing is that growing up, I always knew that everything was corrupt, but it wasn't until the QAnon phenomenon and the Q drops and things like that started coming out that I actually saw proof that there was a conspiracy of light within the world, as well as all these conspiracies of evil.
Yeah.
So that's why the Q movement and the Q drops have given a lot of people faith where they didn't have any before. Uh-huh. I was trying to figure out how the hell to leave the country.
Yeah. There really is nowhere to go, though.
Very true. That's why I'm still here. But I'm bugged out into the woods. I mean, I'm about as off as you can get while still in the country.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I had just about given up. And when Trump got elected, I didn't know any better. I was just like everybody else. Like, what the hell? You know, I kind of believed the party line of, oh, great, here we go. And it wasn't until every time I went to my parents' house, because they have CNN and MSNBC on all the time.
Uh-huh.
And I asked my mom, I'm like, what? Oh, by the way, can I cuss?
I'm...
Or should I, like, make sure to censor myself?
Well, I'm not going to censor you, but the stations really don't.
I gotcha. Okay. So I was like, what in the world is wrong with her? Does she think she's some kind of political consultant or something watching this all the time?
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that the more people watch those stations, the more unhappy they are. I've seen a direct correlation between happiness or misery and watching the news.
Sure.
And my parents watch the news more than anybody else I know, and they are some of the most miserable, closed-minded, brainwashed people I know.
Well, yeah, it's all about the, well, they know scientifically by studying us that we don't critically think anymore. We react from our emotions. We don't think anymore.
Well, I think the big majority of that is because most people were beaten into blind obedience by their parents.
Yes.
That creates Stockholm Syndrome.
And the church.
And that is the perfect way to raise an entire nation of sheeple. I read a book many, many years ago.
And Christianity, too.
Well, it's within all of these regimes. It really is. I read a book a long time ago called The Mass Psychology of Fascism. And it's written by Wilhelm Reich. And it's one of the few books I was able to read online because it was so fascinating. I ripped through it in about 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
And what it is it's a psychologist that analyzes the populations of countries that go fascist and what the mindset of the general population has to be in order for these regimes to be given control. Because they don't just come and take control.
No.
They are given control.
Sure. Hitler.
There are common elements that are accomplished both through religion and through government and through schools. And the common element starts with patriarchal, authoritarian control enforced by violence.
Yes.
Starting in the home.
And fear.
If it doesn't happen at a home level, it can't happen at a national level.
Yes. They
because
also...
You beat them into blind obedience and they're walking around with Stockholm syndrome.
Yes.
And what I found is that about 70 to 80% of our population is completely incapable of critical thinking.
Certainly.
And it's sad, but that's just how it is. And it is trauma-based mind control.
Yes, they also know scientifically studying us too that, not just us, but us, let's put it that way.
Right.
They know scientifically speaking that once you're in a state of fear, you're not able to think correctly. Not just critically, you're just not able to think much at all.
There's a book called Emotional Intelligence, and it actually goes into the scientific explanation of that when you're angry or you're afraid, it lowers your IQ.
Yes, it does. You'll
it hijacks your brain and lowers your IQ.
You'll have to send me links to these books.
Oh, absolutely. But yeah, I've read a lot growing up, but especially trying to figure out why the world is the way it is. And there was an experiment you've probably heard of. I think it's called the Menlil experiment, where basically if you were the subject of this experiment, you would go in and you'd sit in front of a console, and your job is to ask a person in another room that you cannot see questions. And if they get that question wrong, you're going to hit a button to give them electric shock.
Electrical zap? Yeah, the electrical zap.
And then what happens is that person starts screaming, yelling, saying, I don't want to do this anymore. And if the subject of the experiment doesn't want to zap the person, if they look at the person running the experiment was just a guy in a white jacket with a clipboard, and all the guy would say is, I think we should continue.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Okay. They found that over 60% of people would give a fatal electric shock to another person if they're told what to do. And this has been replicated in different countries.
Well, that's...
And it's all about the same. Up to 66% of people are blindly obedient.
Yes. Yes. And there was another psychological experiment too. I don't know what the name of it is or who the scientist was or whatever, but it was back in the 70s, I believe. They took people off the streets and give them actors roles.
The Stanford prison experiment.
Yes, that's one I'm thinking of.
Yes. And it turned out that, you know, normal people who never had any problems or any emotional or weren't sadistic or mean
became
when
dictators.
They were given the job of a guard. It had to be stopped because it became too extreme.
Yeah, they just enjoyed the heck out of it.
That was a Stanford prison experiment. And so a whole huge part of my research was psychology and why people are the way they are. And that's a big part of it. And when I went to my folks' house, that's part of what got me interested in Trump was 2 years of constant smear campaigns. I couldn't get away from every time I went over there. It was all Trump bad, Trump bad, Trump bad. I'm like, what in the world's going on? There are other things in the world besides just one bad president that they're showing no proof that he's really bad.
Orange man bad.
Right. And that's all it was. And I mean, I hate to say it, but my father even has an impeached Trump bumper sticker on his van. And when I've asked, and here's the thing is when you ask these people, why is he so bad? They'll give you different answers every time, or they can't give you an answer, or they can't prove it. And when I asked my dad, why should Trump be impeached? He gave me ridiculous reasons every time, but then they are so closed-minded. And that's the thing about the left. The left doesn't hear both sides. The left seems to have become the party of the mentally ill.
Yeah.
It really has. They will not see both sides.
Well,
people that are on the right,
they can't
listen to both sides.
They can't see both sides. You know
right,
why?
And that's the same with my parents. If they won't see logic, proof, rhyme, reason. They just flat out will not listen.
Oh, that's a psychological term. It's called cognitive dissonance. If any information goes against someone's paradigm, they will just shut that information down.
I hate to say this, cognitive dissonance is actually believing something that you're you know isn't true, like the, you know, people saying that the Twin Towers or three, you know, the two Twin Towers and Building 7 fell because of a fire. When you watch it, if you believe your own eyes, you can tell damn well that that was a controlled demolition.
Yeah.
So oh, yeah. Cognitive dissonance is like forcing people to believe something that's not logical. That creates problems in the mind. But that's not what I meant here, because these people are just completely closed-minded and dismissive. I don't know what the term is for that, but that's different, because their belief is logical in their own twisted mind because they're watching the news. So I wouldn't call that cognitive dissonance if they've been brainwashed.
You know, right.
But they're brainwashed and they're fanatical and they're completely closed-minded and they're completely illogical.
Well, I think this just says dictionary on it. I'm not sure what dictionary it is, but this just says the state of having inconsistent thoughts, beliefs, or attitudes, especially as related to behavior, decisions, and attitude change. Right.
And my father being anti-Trump, I would not consider that cognitive dissonance, because he believes it because of the news.
Yeah.
So he feels like he's perfectly justified. Now, if the news kept telling him opposite, or if he saw proof of the opposite, but he won't even look at proof. He will not listen. He will not believe that, that Trump's given him a tax cut. He will not believe or even acknowledge that Trump has actually helped my father more than any other president by what he did to fix the VA.
Uh-huh.
You know, and my father just won't listen. So that's just being completely closed off, closed-minded, and dismissive, which is how they are. You know, that's part of being a narcissist.
Yeah.
Is, won't believe anybody else. You're always right. And a lot of people on the left are complete narcissists.
Yes.
And that is a mental illness. And they just will not see logic or reason. They think they're always right. So there's nothing you can do. There's absolutely nothing I can do, you know? And then with people like that, like, I've got a friend of mine and I love him to death, but he's kind of the same way. He's not dismissive, but he'll just ignore me.
Mm-hmm.
And when I said, hey, did you hear about what's going on in Virginia, you know, with the gun rights and all that? He's like, well, it wasn't on the news. Like, uh-huh. It doesn't exist unless he sees it on the news.
Yes.
That's the type of brainwashing these people have. And
yes,
it basically creates a kind of mental retardation. And one thing that these people have in common is they were all physically and psychologically abused growing up.
Uh-huh.
And it seems to create a type of emotional retardation where they just cannot have logical, mature discourse. And I've had friends that I would have like debates about religion and all of that. And we believe completely different things, but we can debate and we can still be friends. That's not the type of person I'm talking about. The people that are on the left now won't even debate. They start freaking out, going hostile.
I call that.
They raise their voice instead of strengthening their argument.
I call that the militant left.
Yeah. Yeah. And they basically have become the party of the mentally ill and narcissists and psychopaths.
Yes.
And it's scary to see because of the violence they're causing. And then we're having almost daily attacks against Republicans and against Trump supporters. The right isn't attacking the left like that. It's the left that has turned into just fanatical, violent crazies.
Correct.
And it's scary to see.
Yes. Yes, they are. Absolutely.
We have a mental health crisis in this country, and the media is just feeding it more and more, because when you keep people, this goes back to the mass psychology of fascism, patriarchal authoritarian control by force, you know, enforced in the home, but also sexual repression. The reason why is you have to keep people in psychosis, and people who are mentally ill are very easy to manipulate and control. Especially when it comes to sexual health. People who are healthy sexually are usually healthy mentally. And they can see things for what they are. They'll call BS on BS. But when you repress sexuality, you create people like Ted Bundy. You create all these perversions. And you create these fixations. to where all they worry about is getting off. And they're stuck in that mode because they can't get their basic sexual needs met, because it is a basic need, like food and water. But when you shame it and you raise somebody to believe that wanting sex makes you evil, that's like raising somebody to believe that when you're hungry, you're evil. That will mess someone's head up.
Uh-huh.
Totally. And create psychosis. And this country, it's been so successful. It's been so successful. I don't even know how I escaped. I think it was just a blessing of how I was born, because it just, I never bought it. I always questioned it, and I've been scapegoated all my life and told you're crazy, so on and so forth, all my life. And that's why I've studied logic and deception detection and propaganda tactics and torture tactics, brainwashing tactics, neuro-linguistic programming, forensic statement analysis. I learned so much just to prove to myself what was true and what was logical, and be able to hold my own with all the brainwashed people around me.
Right, right.
And that's kind of how I got to where I am now.
Interesting, yeah. Well, I have to admit, and I have admitted many, many times on air, that I drank the red Kool-Aid up until Christmas of 2008, when I first got my first computer that was given to me.
Oh.
Yeah. No, I don't really. I had seen online, probably in 2005, 2006, whatever it was, when Charlie Sheen got on the Alex Jones show and said something about, maybe it wasn't even Alex Jones. I don't know who it was, but Alex Jones talked about 9/11 being an inside job, and Charlie Sheen was on the talk show or something, and he says, well, correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't that look like a controlled demolition and not brought down by fires and that kind of stuff? And I thought them guys were whack jobs, because people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Bill O'Reilly said they were whack jobs.
Oh, yeah.
And I believed
it. Oh, yeah. Cognitive dissonance. And that one I didn't look into, because we were all so traumatized, and I lost my job a week later. Shell, which CSC, which was Ross Perot's company, they laid off all their contractors a week after September 11th. And I was working at Shell when September 11th happened.
Uh-huh.
And so then my boyfriend at the time was working at Enron, and you know what happened to that.
Yes. Yes, I do.
So, and that's basically what happened to all of us. We're so distracted with survival that you don't even think to question these things. And I wasn't introduced into the whole September 11th thing until I was listening to a video with some astrologers talking about the chart of September 11th and the deception and all that was showing up the chart. And then she goes, well, we all know it was a controlled demolition. And I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
You know what? That's very true, because I believe my own eyes.
Yes.
And that's part of the cognitive dissonance that everybody has. And to prove it, I showed my son when he was like 5 years old. I'm like, here are videos of controlled demolitions. Here are videos of steel frame buildings on fire, which the history of the world, there have been steel frame buildings that have burned for over 24 hours and never collapsed.
Never come down.
They don't collapse. It doesn't work that way.
No, it doesn't.
Okay. And then I showed him September 11th. He's like, that's a controlled demolition. I mean, you could see the explosions. It's an insult to our intelligence.
There was a, it is still widely not reported on and left out of the NIST report, the official government report that NIST gave about Building 7. There was a demolitions expert over in Europe that was showed video of Building 7. And he said, he was asked what that was, and he said, oh, that's a controlled demolition for sure. And then he said, and then the interviewer told him what that was. He said that was Building 7 on September 11, 2001. And he said, oh, I'd never seen that before. He didn't even know about it.
If you look at September 11th as if it was an arson, okay, which is what they should have done. But in arson investigations, there are a few questions they ask that, like, first and foremost, the questions that they would ask in an arson investigation would be, number one, did more than one building owned by the same person burn? Yeah. Number two, did ownership of the buildings change fairly soon before the event? Yeah. Number three, did insurance policies change right before the fires? Yeah. And just all yes. of this suspicious stuff. It's just unbelievable. Well, unbelievable.
All investigators are very, very quickly taught you follow the money.
Oh, yes. And here's the other thing most people don't know. There were over 400 tons of asbestos yes. in those towers.
Yes.
And they were about due to have to be taken down anyway. Okay?
Yes. Well,
here's the other thing is that people assume that everybody else thinks like we do.
Yes.
All right? This is part of why it's so easy for psychopaths to fool the rest of us, because we can't imagine thinking like that, because we don't. That's part of why I had to research psychopathy for so long to be able to understand how they think. And they have no conscience. They have no mm-hmm. empathy. So do I think that a bunch of building owners and a bunch of guys, billionaires, get together in their lodge and figure out a way to make billions of dollars for all of them together by killing a few tens of thousands of people?
Yes.
Do I think they'd do that? Hell yes.
Yes.
Hell yes.
What has there been like?
Most people can't imagine that there's that much evil in the world.
Yes.
You know, and that people could be that evil. But those buildings, in order to remove the asbestos, it would have cost just as much to rebuild the entire buildings.
Right.
So not only did he get away with not having to pay to have the asbestos cleared, because you can't demolish those buildings until you seal them up and remove all the asbestos.
Uh-huh.
So he got a free building demolished without having to remove the asbestos, didn't give a shit about the hundreds of thousands of cancer cases that caused.
Plus he got paid for it too.
On
all cases.
Yeah. And then all of these other agendas that all the other billionaires, you know, the war machines and all of that got through that. It's just, yeah. And then it just still goes. And even like with this coronavirus thing, it's just all... Read The Art of War. All war is based on deception.
Yes.
One thing I find very suspicious is right after September 11th, and you're old enough to remember this, in America, it was all Muslims are bad.
Uh-huh.
But if you've noticed, since then, we have had a huge influx of Islamic migrations everywhere.
Yep.
And people need to understand warfare tactics and genocide tactics.
Well, not just us, the entire, all the countries.
Yeah, because they basically, it is a type of genocide to completely swarm another country with a population and just breed them out.
Yep.
That is genocide. Yep. When you have immigrants, you have to integrate them into the regular society. If you have a huge influx of immigrants that keep their own culture, then you end up having culture clashes. But what's going on is warfare. Yes. They're swarming countries. They're raping all the native women. Like in Europe, there are many countries where the rapes.
Oh yeah.
And they won't say it either. It's like everyone's afraid because, you know, they've terrorized everyone.
Well, they're not allowing people to say anything about it. They're arresting people that speak out about it.
Yeah, they're saying Asians. They're saying the Asian descent immigrants. They're not saying that they are Islamic. And I don't have a problem with Muslims or Islam. I have a problem with pedophilia. I have a problem with abuse.
I do, too.
I have a problem with rape. And that seems to be endemic in that culture.
I do, too.
You know, I know a woman who lives in Egypt. I was chatting with her the other day, and she says she does not know a single woman in a Muslim home that isn't abused by her husband.
Yeah.
Husband. Yeah. You know, it's just, Yeah, it's ingrained. It's totally ingrained. And I think that there needs to be a division in that religion because back when it was supposedly Mohammedism, it wasn't like that. But I have a problem with Sharia law. I have a problem with the slavery of women and the slavery of people and just the inherent violence
Yes.
that is in that culture.
Yeah.
It is probably the most successful, violent, evil, mind control cult I have ever seen, and it's invading this world.
Well, look at it up until I don't know, maybe up until the 1800s, Christianity was almost the same way.
It
It
was.
was just as bad.
Well, kind of.
I would say from the beginning of Christianity until the, I don't know, 13th century, it was as bad.
Well, I again, you know that I don't believe the history that we're being given, but Peter also coming out of the age of Pisces. And the age of Pisces is a negative polarity age. And what I really think has been going on in that age is I think that, like, for example, when the Catholic Church was first created, it was good. Then it became corrupt. It's like the larger an
Well,
organization gets, the more corrupt they get.
the
Like
Catholic
they
Church,
changed the definitions of words.
the
Back in
Catholic.
the Middle Ages, the word virgin didn't used to mean a woman who's never had sex.
Correct.
It used to mean a matriarch, an independent matriarch that
Unmarried
was owned
woman.
by no man. It had nothing to do with that. And then the word chaste didn't mean asexual. It used to mean like platonic, like casual sex. So it started out not like that, but then got twisted with the regime of sexual repression. Okay, which helped them instill fascism. Okay, but I don't think it was like that. I think it became corrupt, just like everything else that started in, you know, like the United States
When the
started out with good ideals, started out, you know, really with a wonderful structure and then corrupted from there
Well, I've
because
got a
things have
friend.
been devolving in the age of Pisces. But I think now things are going to start evolving
I do too.
once we get some of this, you know,
I've
this.
got a friend that says that all of this is brought on by the Anunnaki, the people that started calling themselves special, started calling themselves kings and queens and pharaohs. I don't really know. Maybe they were. Maybe the Egyptian pharaohs, they are always pictured 2 to 3 times the size of normal men back then.
Oh, absolutely, there were giants.
Sure.
Absolutely. And there still are, even now. There still are giants. I mean, there still are people that are just extremely tall. I think that they went covert. I think that they're still here, but they are in
They're
hidden
underground.
bases
Yeah, they're
or
underground.
Antarctica, other places like that, underground
Yep.
cities, but they went covert.
Yep.
But they were all every culture in the world. And if you look at all the artwork, if you look at the ancient Egyptian artwork, if you look at the Mayan artwork, look at any of the historical ancient sculptures and drawings, they all show giants.
Yep.
And it's really it's very close-minded to think that they didn't exist.
Yes. Well, I was hoping to save this for another discussion, if we could.
Yeah, not a problem. But no, I do think that there are non-human entities that exist and have always existed and will always exist with us.
Yes.
I don't have any doubt about that. I think some of them are good and some of them are bad. You
Yes.
know, I mean, people want to think that the Anunnaki are all the fallen angels or the Nephilim, but why, if there are fallen angels, what about non-fallen angels? What happened to them?
Yeah.
People are, it's so easy for people to believe that the bad guys exist. Well, don't good guys exist too? And
Yeah,
from
that's
what
it.
I have gathered, the cities were designed. And if you live in a city, and that's the thing, cities are basically the Babylonian structure. Cities are slavery. You have
Yes.
to have money to have anything else.
Yes.
That's not how humans were meant to live.
Yes.
We were meant to live in self-sufficient, communities, small self-sufficient communities. We were meant to grow our own food. We were not meant to be dependent on cities.
Yes.
But cities do need to have leaders, because a city is like a hive of humans. And when you have a hive, you have the worker bees, you have the, you know, the all the different jobs and roles. Cities, that's necessary. And you do need to have leaders.
Cities have
certain types of humans that are their intellect, they're not very, you know, they're not very intellectual, and that's not their calling. Their calling is to be an artisan. Their calling is like to work with their hands and be people of the earth. It's not their job to figure out how to run, you know, cities and structures and economies. It Yes. takes a certain type of intellect, and I don't think that the original seedings of humans had that, because we weren't originally seeded to live in cities.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That started with the creation of the Adam race and yes. the Eve race.
Yes.
And when the kingship was brought down. So the biggest problem we have now is that people are dependent on cities.
Yes, they are.
If we started moving out of the cities and creating self-sufficient communities, we wouldn't have these problems. Everyone's fighting about how bad the government is, trying to get a better government. That's like kids trying to fight over what parent is right instead of getting the hell out of the house and getting their own apartment.
Yes. Well, cities don't have leaders anymore. They have fat cat bankers.
Yeah. It just leads to corruption. It does. Really does.
It does. Well, I would like to end it here. I do appreciate sure. you coming on.
Thank you very much for having me. And again, if you don't mind me mentioning, if you guys do a web search for Noelle, N-O-E-L-L-E, Faye, F-A-E, I'm pretty much positive that I'm censored and shadow banned.
Yes.
But
plus you're on Facebook too, right?
Do search for Noelle Faye Forbidden Fruit.
Yeah, you're on Facebook.
To find my videos.
Well, you're on Facebook also.
Yes, but I don't really use Facebook very much.
Okay.
So YouTube would be probably the best way to find me.
Okay. That's fine. That's good.
Yeah.
A lot of people do that. So thank you.
Oh, thanks for having me on. Well, I really appreciate it. It's been enjoyable.
I hope we can talk soon.
All right. Well, you take care.
Have a good night.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, everyone, again. I am officially out for the night, so thanks, everyone, for coming out.